Good afternoon, everyone. Bonjour à tous. Thank you for joining us today for the media availability on today's Transit Commission meeting. Merci de vous joindre à nous pour le point de presse sur la réunion de la Commission du transport en commun. My name is Sébastien Tremblay and I will be your moderator. Je m'appelle Sébastien Tremblay et je serai l'animateur de cette séance. Before we begin, I'd like to go over a few items. Please note that this media availability is recorded. A copy will be provided to media outlets for broadcasting purposes. Veuillez noter que ce point de presse est enregistré pour les médias à des fins de diffusion. Spokespeople are kindly asked to turn on their video function when answering questions from the media. Nous demandons aux porte-parole qui répond aux questions de mettre la fonction vidéo en marche. And, as always, a reminder to place yourself your microphone on mute until I invite you to ask a question. Veuillez garder votre micro désactivé jusqu'à ce que je vous invite à poser votre question. Available from questions from the media, we have. Disponible pour répondre aux questions des médias, nous accueillons Alan Hubley, Chair of the Transit Commission, Président de la Commission du Transport en commun, Steve Kanalakis, City Manager, John Manconi, General Manager, Transportation Services, Directeur Général des Transports, Troy Charter, Director of Transit Operations, Directeur des Opérations du Transport en commun, Pat Scrimger, Director of Transit Customer Systems and Planning, Directeur des Systèmes Clients et Planification, Jim Greer, Director, Transit Operations, Directeur des Opérations du Transport en commun, Brandon Richards, Chief Safety Officer, Agent en Chef de la Sécurité, Michael Morgan, Director, Rail Construction Program, Directeur du Programme de Construction du Rail, Nicolas Truchon, Chief Executive Officer of Rideau Transit Group, Chef de la Direction du Groupe de Transport de Rideau, and Mario Guerra, Chief Executive Officer and Interim General Manager of Rideau Transit Maintenance, Chef de la Direction et Directeur Général par Intérim de Rideau Transit Maintenance. I will now invite each agency in alphabetical order participate. You may ask one question with one follow-up. Nous allons maintenant répondre aux questions des médias qui pourront poser une question et une question de suivi. We'll now start with, nous allons commencer avec, is Joanne Cannello on the line from CBC? Doesn't look like
he's sorry. Yes, I'm here. I'm just unmuting myself. Can you hear me?
Great. I can hear you now. Go ahead, Joanne.
Great. Thank you. Sorry about that. I'm on my phone here. Thanks. I think this is for one of the gentlemen at RTM. Can we get a sense of when, you know, we keep talking about the root cause investigation of last month's derailment. Can we get an exact sense of what that entails? What are you looking at? All the factors in that, and when you think it might be done? I know that might be an estimate, and you don't know, but when can we expect some sort of update on that?
Yes, it's Mario. Thanks for the question. We essentially look at the vehicle history, we look at the component history, we bring in the original equipment manufacturer along with Alstom, the vehicle supplier, to work together and in tandem. We look at batches, serialization, when these things were done, what QA processes were placed. It's quite a long process that goes in. We send any and all materials to labs to be analyzed. It's quite an involved process that we go through. I would expect the investigation is still ongoing, so it's hard for me to tell you when the root cause will be analyzed, but I would say it would be at least a couple of months before we're 100% sure.
So a couple more months before we're hearing anything, but maybe before the end of the year?
Yes, I would think so.
All right. And I guess as a follow-up, I mean, it was very interesting to have those photos, by the way. This is not a question, but it would be great to have had some of that information that you provided a little bit earlier, closer to the event, because a lot of us were, you know, trying to explain what axles were and bearings and all of that. And the pictures and the images were very helpful. Wish we had had those last month. But moving on, you know, I know people are looking at the event from today. And I'm not sure how long that will take to confirm what, when the problem, if that was the, if indeed it was the bracket, and if it was the bracket, why that fell off. So I'd love to hear an update on that. But on a larger issue, and I don't know if it's you, Mario, as well as the city, there's a lot of frustration today about confidence and trust. And I mean, that meeting, as you know very well, went on for like 5 hours. And at the end, I don't know that anything was really resolved. So how do we deal with the issues of confidence from obviously council and commissioners who are very upset, but also the public? So there's two little questions in there. One's a logistical one, and the other one is sort of a broader thematic one, which I'm happy to have answers from anybody on that.
I think I'll let the city answer the question. I know they're going to be taking a number of steps to ensure confidence in the system. So
can I just get the bracket question first again? Like, when do we know, when might we know when that...
the latest incident?
On the latest incident about whether that was the actual key.
So the TSP is in charge of the scene. We have staff there now. We need to, I would characterize it as a three-pronged approach. The first one is the investigation, looking at what happened, where it happened, looking at the state of the track. The second one is to look at the vehicle itself from a retrieval perspective. We need to get the vehicle to the MSF so that we can have a better look and try and determine root cause. And then the third one is to evaluate the damage to the infrastructure so that we can come up with a game plan to make the repairs. So too early at this point to speculate on how long that might take.
All right. And so then I'm just going to move on then to the larger question of, we kind of talked around and around and around it for hours, but you know, how do we come to the point where people are not worried about, you know, something that they don't know might happen on the train? I think that is what the commissioners, a lot of them spoke to. I think it reflects a lot about what the public is feeling. Yesterday, you know, I talked to a passenger who was on that train yesterday. She was laughing in a way because she said she only takes transit once a month and happened to be the time that, you know, it derailed, and you don't want it to be the time that you're taking it that something occurs. So how do we as a city restore confidence in the system to our residents? So I don't know who wants to take that.
Well, I can start, Joanne. I mean, the simple answer, even though the get there is very complex and it's challenging, is to get reliability back in the system. I mean, we had 12 months of 11 of the 12 months of 97, 98, 99% reliability. And yeah, ridership was down and maybe our fleet count was down for a period there, but they weren't having many issues. We were doing really well. And then, you know, you had two significant incidents that have happened over the last month or so, 6 weeks or so. And it shakes people's confidence. And I think the work that John and his team and Mario and their team and then all the other safety organizations are doing is to get to the root of it, find out why these things happen and correct and move on. And we have a rectification plan that, or they're working on a rectification plan. They made great progress over the last year, and we're going to be updating council on that very soon, or committee up very soon. There's still got a few issues outstanding. Now we have these more recent issues. But the only way that confidence is going to come back, there's no magic scenario here, is when the rail starts running at 97, 98, 99% every month, all the time. And people understand there's going to be, as people have said, other cities, you have, you know, train stall, you have issues with trains. That happens all over the world all the time. But if we're at 97, 98, 99%, we're operating basically at a global standard, a world-class standard, if we're at that position. And we were. And so now the effort is, okay, how do we get to the bottom of what's happened, and how do we ensure that doesn't happen in the future? And they have to continue their work that they're doing every day to try and improve the reliability of those trains. We've said it from the beginning. We said it a year and a half ago when we were having all the other troubles the first year, is that you can't come out of the way people feel until the trains are reliable. And that's been the journey we've been on for the last 2 years. And the last year, I have to say that, you know, they made huge progress. You know, 11 out of 12 months, we were doing great. So it's tough to accept where we're at right now because this is a setback. But I think we're going to get back on that kind of track again. And I think that's where people eventually find confidence back in the system where they know they can depend on it for their trips and for their daily lives.
Thank you very much for your questions. We will now move on to, do we have Deborah Ryder from City News on the line? I don't believe so. So we'll move on to Ted Raymond at CTV Ottawa. Ted?
Hi there. Thanks for taking my question. This question is for Chair Hubley. Last year when we had all of the issues before the pandemic hit and they had that time to work on the line, there was a lot of talk about terminating the contract with RTG. That has kind of resurfaced again after these last two incidents. I know that the city staff is looking into what would all be involved in that. Do you have any updates on that? And do you think that at this point, that's something that should be on the table?
Thank you, Ted, for the question. Last year does not compare to where we're at now. I think the city manager made a very good point about the progress that has been made since then. I think the fact that you had Nicholas and Mario at the meeting today is a huge step forward for us as well in that working relationship. I will say this, that last year, when we're at that point, that's when we issued the notice of rectification. There was a requirement for a plan to address all those issues. I believe, I may need John's help here, but I believe we ticked off all the boxes on that rectification plan or pretty close to it. So there's been a lot of progress since last year. Sure, this incident this past weekend it rattles everybody. It rattles me. It's just human nature when something like this happens. But we're going to figure it out. My motion today was all about find out what happened, what's the way forward to get back into service and provide the safest possible rail option for our ridership.
Okay. Thank you. And just as a follow-up, did we get a lemon? Do any of you believe that's what happened here? And is there a way to perhaps replace these vehicles at some point during this 30-year period?
So I'll take that one, Chair, if you like, or did you want to comment?
No, please go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's our belief. We didn't get a lemon. I mean, I think what's lost sight is, and Steve mentioned it, is the city manager mentioned, you know, we had 12 months of thousands and thousands of uninterrupted trips at, and you know, Mario's worked in large transit agencies. You know, he was hitting numbers that Toronto and others, you know, would love to see in their subway system. We've had setbacks. We've had a vehicle that, as we've described, needs to be debugged, was getting debugged, and we had 12 months of fairly good service. And, you know, Nicholas and Mario were working their way through back to that, regaining the trust and the reliability that we prescribed for in our PA. This notion of taking this vehicle, and there's many of them, both for stage one and stage two, and replacing it with another vehicle, that's not feasible. That's not practical. It's not cost effective. You'd be into years of shutdowns and retrofits. Because you know, systems are integrated and complicated, and everything talks to each other and everything connects, everything is sized for certain vehicle configurations and so forth. So we do not believe we have a lemon. There's nothing that demonstrates or proves that it's unfixable. It is fixable. It needs the focus and the passion and the oversight that we've talked about. Replacing it is a non-starter in terms of being practical in every lens that you apply to it.
Thank you very much. We will now move on to Craig Lord at Global Ottawa. Craig?
Thanks very much. I believe this would be for John Manconi. Based on what you were just saying there, and I think we've heard similar things from you in previous Transit Commission meetings that Compared to other, you know, systems around the world, this isn't unusual, is usually how you say that, that systems have similar issues. But so where is the disconnect, I guess? Because the Ottawa LRT, rightly or wrongly, has a pretty bad reputation 2 years into its existence. So where is the disconnect for you in terms of the reputation the system has so far and how it performs, you know, comparative to other markets?
Yeah, that's a good question, Craig. What we have seen and what the experts that have done this around the world have told me is everything that we're experiencing is not abnormal. What is unique about it is it's happening in such a short duration period of time. So the defects, again, Mario's probably one of the most experienced on this call. He's seen all these defects in his career. It's just the frequency of back-to-back that's occurring in such a short window. Some will argue that's good because you're getting it out of the vehicle, but it is not a good customer experience. And that's back to what the city manager talked about. That customer experience is all we have in terms of trust and reputational trust and reliability. So, you know, Steve's been in the room with me when experts from New York and others have said, seen all this, you're just getting in a very short period of time. So door issues have occurred. Crack wheels have occurred. Again, I encourage people to look at the internet and look at the news broadcasts out there. Door issues, catenary issues, all those things occurred. We've been unfortunate and had it in a very short, condensed period of time, affecting a lot of customers. Why? It is the busiest LRT in North America. That line is busier than the Green Line in Boston, and it affects a lot of people in a short duration of time pre-COVID. So, that's where we're at.
I guess a follow-up to that is, how do we know that we're just unfortunate and that we don't have a system that just has more of these issues that pop up every now and then, but just, you know, could happen for the life of this system?
Because when the issue is fixed and addressed, like the doors, we have not been experiencing door issues. Like the catenary, they've addressed the catenary issue. Mario's now doing regular maintenance on it and so forth. So we've seen the evidence. That's once there is a laser focus and resourcing, proper resourcing, with Ottawa's environment, with Ottawa's busyness and so forth, the issues have been addressed, which speaks to the rectification plan that the chair was talking about. They are going through that plan and starting to knock off a lot of those 9 issues.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. On va maintenant à Charles-Antoine Gagnon avec le droit. Charles-Antoine?
Oui, bonjour. Ce serait pour savoir how many of those sand brackets there is on each train, and I would assume that they're all going to be checked.
I'll let Mario answer that one.
It's somewhat premature. We at least confirm that it was the sand bracket at this time. We do know that the sand bracket came off, but it's premature to think that that might have been the cause of the derailment. We need to continue our investigation both at the site and once we get the vehicle here. As far as where they're located, there are 3 power bogies on each vehicle, and we have a sander bracket and nozzle for each of the leading wheels.
Thank you.
C'est toutes tes questions, Charles?
Oui.
Merci. We will now go to Blair Crawford at the Ottawa Citizen. Blair?
Yes, hi. This is for Mr. Manconi, and it's a question that's been asked before, but just wondering if you've had any indication from TSB when they're going to release the site, how much work you would need to do to walk the car back to the train. Basically, when might people be able to ride the train again, given that you'll have the assessment that from Councillor Hubley's motion to assess RTM's restart plan? Any guesses? 1 week, 2 weeks?
It's too early to guess, Blair. I don't know if Mario wants to comment, but you know, we have to get the TSB work and the safety work out of the way. Then we have to do repairs. And then we have this added layer of checks and balances that was approved by the commission that Chair Hubley tabled today. Mario, did you want to comment?
Yeah, I think the first order of business is to get the vehicle. As I said, that's kind of 3-pronged. The second is to safely get the vehicle back to the shop so we can do our analysis on it. And then we can determine root cause and what mitigation needs to be done in the short and long term. We have realized attending the scene today with TSB and the city that there's a lot more infrastructure damage than we originally thought. So I think that that may be on the critical path is our ability to get in there and repair all the damage to the ties, to the clips, to the switch machine. We need to verify the OCS is okay. There's a lot of work to be done. So I wouldn't venture a guess, but I would think, I said a week yesterday, I think we're probably looking to get the entire system back up and running. That's assuming that we can satisfy everyone that it's safe to resume service. I would say 3 weeks probably. We can maybe look at running some partial service. But again, that really depends on the root cause of the incident.
As a follow-up question again to Mr.
Blair, I'm sorry. Can I jump in there? I just want to clarify. I'm sorry, it's Joanne Canelo. I'm just saying, are you saying that the train service may be down for 3 weeks? I just don't want to misunderstand what you've just said.
No, I'm saying that it'll probably take us 3 weeks to make all the repairs to the infrastructure. We may run a partial service at some point, but for full service to resume, I would say it'll be a little while before we can get the infrastructure repaired. We have to, we're bringing in the contractors today and tomorrow to better assess the timeline around the repairs to the infrastructure. So I should be in a better position to give you something more definite once that's taken place.
Okay, as a follow-up then, I think Councillor Brockington asked this, but what capacity do you have for partial services? I mean, there's no sidings to take the train off, but can you explain how partial service might work, whether you're bypassing that section of track? Or...
I think Troy can maybe pipe in here, but we can do single line service pass because the second track is actually not damaged, or we can do a partial service to you from you out of the tunnies. Troy, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, sure. There's a couple options that we have at our place. Obviously, they all are contingent upon the vehicles being cleared and safe to return to service. That's first and foremost. We do have there's multiple locations along the line in which trains can use track switches to go from one track to another. So we could what we call single track around that area and provide service to the whole line. But we'd also be looking at, you know, what's the best way to provide the best possible service to all our customers. So, we might look at the modified versions where, you might run a certain number of trains, on a loop of a partial system, on a loop of part of the system, and then have one train running like what we'd call like a shuttle back and forth. But we'll have to take a look at that and see what options are available to us in terms of availability. Single tracking is one of the most it's probably the most beneficial for customers in especially in this specific area because it's a small section of track in which we'd have to single track around. But as I said, it's obviously all contingent upon the vehicles being cleared and safe to resume service.
Yeah, if I could just jump in, I just caution everybody on dates and single track service and everything because the single most important part of today, or one of the single most important parts, is about Mr. Kanellakis will have an independent person telling him that you can restore service. That includes partial service. So, Joanne, I know exactly what you're doing. That was great. I'm glad that you did that for clarification. And Mario, I'm just trying to put the right caveats around this. There is a whole oversight piece that whether it's partial or all, we want reassurances that anything that returns to service has that check mark to it. So very, very premature. But I like the inputs that you're giving, Mario, in terms of construction. There's material lead items and so forth. So, Steve, I don't know if you wanted to comment on that.
No, thank you for clarifying, John. I mean, I don't, I'm worried now it's going to be, service won't be back in 3 weeks. I mean, the whole point of the next couple of days is going to be critical. Mario's doing an assessment. Sam Barata's going to give us an expert. We've got the other safety stuff. So we'll be able to make an assessment, give you an update within the next day or so in terms of what we're thinking. And John's absolutely right. Until we get that clearance, we're not going back up. But everyone's objective is to try to, restore service and get us going again. So that's what everyone's going to be working hard on for the next little while.
All right. Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for your time today. Merci à tous pour votre temps aujourd'hui. Have a nice Monday.